Good morning. We are continuing our study of the book of John in the Holy Bible and the book of Joel, which is called in this case A Parenthesis in Eternity. And we are on chapter 18, The Function of the Mind. Now we've heard Joel say over and over again, the function of the mind is as an avenue of awareness, right? And maybe we didn't understand that. Well, by the end of today, we will understand that. We're going to be talking about the second degree. In the first degree, we learn all about the letter of truth. We learn that God is our supply, that God is the health of our countenance, that God is the harmony of our relationships. And we learn the letter. But here in the second degree, consciousness begins to open. I can feel it right now. And there's a movement. And that movement is the presence. Okay, so let's jump in here. After we have been in the first degree long enough for its lessons to solidify in consciousness, we begin to realize that we ourselves are responsible for our character and for the harmonies or discords that are coming into our experience. And why? It's because we've learned the letter of truth. And when a problem comes, we can sit down, close our eyes, and rehearse the truth, the letter, and work on becoming still. In the second degree, a great principle is revealed. A mind imbued with truth is a law of harmony unto our life. A mind ignorant of truth results in a life of chance, luck, and circumstance, a life over which we have no control. All right, now, what does that mean? A mind imbued with truth. I studied that. I looked that up until I could see what it was telling me. And here's what I saw. A mind imbued with truth is not what the human mind thinks it is. It's not a mind imbued with the letter. Because why? Because the letter killeth. And those of you that have meditated and known the letter in your mind over and over again have seen small or no results. And it's because your mind has not been imbued with truth. Your mind has been imbued with the truth about the truth. Your mind has been imbued with scriptures about the truth. Your mind has been imbued with truth statements about the truth. But your mind has not been imbued with the truth. Which should tell you you're still in the first degree. Now, to get to or to progress into the second degree, you're going to have to find out what that means, the mind imbued with truth. Well, what is truth? That was asked to Christ Jesus. What was his reply? I am the truth. And who is this I? Is it the man Jesus? No. Then who is this I? It's got to be God. God is the truth. I am the truth. God is a spirit, we are told. Spirit is the truth. And so your mind imbued with I, your mind imbued with spirit, your mind imbued with God, your mind imbued with the I, the presence, the Christ. Yes, your mind imbued with Christ. That's the law of harmony. So what does he say? He says, a mind imbued with truth, a mind imbued with Christ, a mind imbued with the presence, is a law of harmony unto our life. So when you go into meditation, Joel has told us over and over and over, yes, it's perfectly proper to know the letter of truth, but then you must come to an end of that, and you must come to a place where you rest back and say, now, Father, what is truth? And wait. You just stop. Whatever words or word works for you, stop. And you wait upon the Lord. And here in the second degree, something will happen. I feel it as an inner movement. I never did like that word, a click. Joel said, there's a click. Well, I don't like that. You know, I click my Bic lighter. I click the lights on and off. No, I never did like click, although I understand what he means. For me, it's an inner movement. I feel an actual movement of spirit in my being, in my consciousness, in my mind. I become aware of that movement of spirit in my mind. That's the second part of meditation, which we leave out. But here in the second degree, we don't leave it out. Here in the second degree, we don't leave our meditation until we feel that inner presence, that movement. Because we know when we feel that movement, like Joel said, God is on the scene. God is expressing. And as many of us that receive Him, receive that inner movement, we become the sons of God or the manifestation of God. Here in the second degree, we use the letter only to calm ourselves down and reach a place of stop. And then God takes over the meditation. We feel that inner movement. Or there may be a series of words. God may say, you don't have to work that hard. Peace. Be still. Or God may say nothing. You just may feel that inner presence. Or God may say, get up. Go mail that letter. Do it right now. And you'll feel that nudging very strong. But here in the second degree, the mind becomes an avenue of awareness. After the letter has been thought, it becomes still and remains as an avenue of awareness into which this spirit flows, and we feel its movement, and we know that God is here. We know that the mind has been imbued with God, with the truth. So, again, in the second degree, a great principle is revealed. A mind imbued with truth is a law of harmony unto our life. But now we know it's not a mind imbued with the letter. It's not a mind imbued with scriptures. It's the mind imbued with truth, with the actual moving, living God. We can control our life only in proportion to the truth we entertain or become aware of in our consciousness. We ourselves can determine whether we want 1 hour out of 24 of harmony, or 24 out of 24. We alone can determine how much of our attention we wish to give to truth, to every word, capital W, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you see, he's hinting here that truth is the word of God that you receive in consciousness. You become aware of it. Your mind is an avenue of awareness. In the early stages of the second degree, we begin to apply and use principles of truth, taking hold of our life and governing it by spiritual law. If there is a problem of supply, we realize that supply is spiritual. Within us, it is the very presence of God, for God is fulfillment. We work along this line, we remind ourselves of truth, and mentally apply every statement of truth we know to the erroneous appearances that present themselves. It is in this second stage that our humanhood mounts and improves. Yes, because why? Because you begin to have a harmonious life. Relationships improve. Income supply is improved. Health is improved. We begin to think that we of ourselves are doing all this and that we are very clever and capable. We are ridding ourselves of all our discords and bringing about harmony, and we think that this mind of ours is really powerful. It is then that we may begin to believe that mind is God. But since the mind can be used for both good and evil, it cannot be God. For God is above the pairs of opposites. Okay, so what do we have? A mind imbued with God is the law of harmony. But mind imbued with God is a mind that's sitting absolutely still and feeling the movement of spirit, of the presence of Christ. That's a mind imbued with truth, because I am the truth, says Christ. And we have, if I can find it, yes, God is above the pairs of opposites. And so if you're entertaining some thought of God that's good or evil, it's not God. It's a concept. Everything in this world has an opposite. Everything is either good or evil. And almost everything is both at the same time. That's the nature of this world. What did the Christ say? I have overcome this world. So, let's look at something. Here's a beautiful piece of chocolate cream pie with whipped cream on it and little chocolate sprinkles on top. And you look at that and you debate with yourself. Why? Because you're thinking that it's bad. It's going to put weight on you. But you know the taste is so good. Oh my God. So you take a piece, a rather large piece, and you sit down and you begin to eat it. Oh God, that's good. Oh wow. But then you're also thinking in your mind, that's bad, that's going to put weight on me. I wonder what I'll weigh tomorrow. I'll have to buy some new pants pretty soon. And you take another bite, oh, that's good. Does that not seem to you like a form of insanity? It does to me. How can it be good and bad at the same time? It's neither. Those are concepts. What does Joel tell us? It's at that point that we have to say, if we're in the second degree, we have to say, okay, God is the source of my nutrition. So, This is neither good nor bad. What is this, Father? And then we have to become still and wait until he reveals what it is. And he just may say, I am the only presence. I am the eater, and I am that which is ate. I am all. Then you rest, you relax, because there's nothing to do. You're entertaining the truth. You feel that movement within. You hear its uttered words, I am all. And you relax. You've stepped out of that world of two-ness, of opposites, of good and evil. And here's a cone for you. And if you remember, a cone is what the Buddhists give their students to go meditate on. K-O-A-N, cone. Here's one for you, and for me. God is not good. That's disturbing, isn't it? I know. But it has to be true. God's not part of the opposites. We know God's not evil. But do we know that God's not good? What is God, then? Take that into your temple. What is God? God is not good. What is God? And if you feel like it, you can share what is revealed to you with me. You have my email address. If you don't, you can find it on the website. Okay, so let us continue. Those who are on the spiritual level can see into the mind, thereby becoming aware of things that those living a materialistic and mental life can never know, because they are too close to the picture and too much involved. Yes, we can look into the mind and see obsessions of the mind. This one has to gamble, because there's an obsession that they're going to win. This one has to have sex because he or she feels that that's the only time they feel useful and complete. It's an obsession of the mind. We can look into the mind and see that. This one feels they have to work 76 hours a week. And we have a term for it. They're called workaholics. This one feels that the only way they can live is to have opium or opioid. I talked to a guy that was taking 18 a day and driving. And so we can look into the mind and we can see obsessions of the mind. And we can see that the mind always operates within the framework of opposites. Taking a pill makes you feel good. Becoming addicted makes you feel bad. Winning the jackpot and a slot machine makes you feel good. But losing your house because you've bet all your money is bad. Having sex makes you feel good for an hour or two. But then the nagging feeling that, well, what am I, makes you feel bad. So you see, it's all in the opposites. And that's where we function, until something breaks that hypnotism. And what did he say? Joel, he said, our offense and defense is nothing that is physical or mental. Our offense and defense against error, against hypnotism, against an obsession of the mind, is simply the awareness of God. And the awareness of God comes in the second part of our meditation, in which we feel that inner movement. You see, this all fits together. Here in the second degree, that's what we're learning, to move from the letter into actually feeling and being aware of that inner presence. Moses had been initiated into all the secrets of occultism at the court of the pharaohs. And when he returned to Egypt after his I Am That I Am revelation, he and Aaron performed mental tricks such as transforming the rod into a serpent and turning the water of the river into blood. This was pure mental manipulation, and it all took place on the mental plane and was in no sense spiritual. Yes, yeah, so when you are able to look into the mind and see how to manipulate, how to perform mental manipulation, I say to you, don't do it. Men of spiritual illumination, Joel says, learn everything there is to be known about the mind and the body, but they do not use this knowledge for performing tricks, for show, or for display of power. Okay, so you've been warned. The mind does have a rightful place in our experience. The universe that we know with the physical senses is not a material universe. It is a mental universe. This material body is not material. It is a mental creation, the mind creation of the second chapter of Genesis. And you should know and be able to start to suspect, I have been living in a mental creation. That is why Joel says, no illusion is ever externalized, because it's all mental. I have been living in a mental universe, but this is a spiritual universe, and the mental is a fraud, a phony, a fake. Talk about fake news. This is fake universe. And the only way to step out of it or overcome it is through the first, second, and third degrees. And in the second degree, we begin to let this spiritual being, this God, this Christ presence, flow into our consciousness. And it lifts us out of the opposites and into oneness. And we see, and we may even go, oh my God, that's right. One. Oneness. Where have I been? This is the spiritual universe. The substance of body is mind. As long as we are functioning on the level of mind, we are functioning on the level of either good or evil. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You may have finally suspected you've been living in a mental universe with all of these opposites, and most of them happening at the same time. Here's a really bad one. How about the father that has sex with his daughter? Well, everybody in the Western Hemisphere is going to say, that is evil. That's incest, and it's wrong. But there are cultures where such a thing is normal. I guess they consider it a father breaking in the daughter or teaching her the ways or something. But anyway, they consider it normal and good. You see how far apart that is, the good and the evil? And yet it's the same situation, it's the same act, isn't it? So, you and I have lived for centuries in a mental creation, a fake universe. And I don't know about you, but I am fed up with the opposites. And I am drawn to the one. As long as we are functioning on the level of mind, we are functioning on the level of good or evil. So this cannot be God. God is neither good nor evil. God is spirit. In the second degree, then, we learn that the truth with which the mind is imbued, and we know now what that is, it's an inner movement, becomes tangible as the health of our body, as the abundance of our supply, and as the harmony of our experience. And in the Kahlua study series of 1955, Joel says, it's the second part of the meditation when we feel that presence. That's where healing comes from. And so your hour of knowing the truth, or your half hour of knowing all the truth you know about a situation, is not where the healing comes from. All of that is a kind of hocus pocus so you can reach the place where the mind stops and the opposites stop and there's an opening. You have opened your consciousness to receive and you feel this inner movement. You feel the presence. The word comes to you and you know it's not from your mind. And this is the second part of the creation, the second part of the meditation, and the first creation, the spiritual universe. Now we are being governed by the truth that we entertain in our consciousness. Truth is the substance of the law of harmony, but this truth does not dangle up in the air. It must be embodied and incorporated in our mind. Yes, you have to become aware of that inner presence. That's all. Just your awareness. You don't have to do anything with it. You're not a creator. You're a mind, an avenue of awareness. So sit still and be aware. And then behold, I shall make all things new, and you will have a new heaven and a new earth and a new creature. A new self. As long as the mind is governed by truth, there will be no selfishness. Yes, because we will not be directing the mind towards specific ends. All right. So, yes, you do not have to do anything with it. He says, we do not have to think of any of our bodily functions. All we have to think of is of God as the activity and the law unto our being. And then all action is performed harmoniously and perfectly in accordance with divine law. But that's not with your mind imbued with scriptures. It doesn't happen that way. It's your mind imbued with truth, with the living God. That, then, becomes the law, divine law. Originally, the mind was, and it must again become, that for which it was created, an instrument of awareness and knowledge. On using the mind to create something or to draw something, or to draw some person to us, would be taking the mind out of its orbit, and we might create a Frankenstein. When the mind is used for the purpose of knowing the truth, that truth then becomes the law of harmony. Onto our experience, it sets us free from every sense of limitation, physical, mental, moral, and financial. The truth that we entertain in our consciousness takes over our life, eliminating discords and inharmonies, and bringing about peace, harmony, and security. It is in this second degree that we decide whether we will serve God or Mammon. Eventually, those who follow this path learn that there is not a moment of the day when the mind is not stayed on truth. They do not have to state truth consciously. They are living it. There's a subtle difference there, and oh, I hope you catch it. It's not the truth the mind rehearses. It's the truth the soul feels. When I was stuck in Houston on the 4th of July, hey, that's today, isn't it? Sunday, the 4th of July. When I was stuck in Houston on the 4th of July on a Friday at 7:30 p.m., there were no garages open, to my knowledge, and my car wouldn't start, and I pulled it. It died while I was going down the freeway, Interstate 10. And I pulled it over to where there was a bunch of orange and white barrels and parked it there because I couldn't. It stopped. My car stopped. And very interesting, later when I took it to a mechanic, he said, you should not have been able to get to California because the mind of this car, the brain, is fried. So isn't that funny? And that's exactly what I had to do, sitting there, big 18-wheelers going by, and it was raining too, of course. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I have $80 in my pocket. Well, I could know the truth, I guess. So I started knowing the truth. Only the presence of God is here. God is the only presence, and I rest in Him. And, you know, I knew truth with my mind. I was knowing scriptures. But it helped to calm me down. And eventually I reached a state of peace. Even while the 18-wheelers are going by and it's raining, I reached a state of peace. And I stopped. Just like my car had. And my brain stopped. Just like the car. What happened? Oh, it's wonderful. I felt that presence, that inner movement. And I tried the car, nothing. Tried it again, nothing. Tried it the third time, boom, 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 it started right up. I backed out. I headed down the highway toward California. And halfway to California from there, I got a room. The next day I got up, it started up again. I drove it the rest of the way to California. I had enough to get a meal. And I got to my friend's house out there. And the next day I started it up again and I drove it to a new car dealer. And I traded it in on a new car. This was after I'd been to the mechanic to see if it was worth fixing. Okay, so, we here in the second degree, we learn to live that way. To every problem that's presented, we don't give it a lot of the letter of truth. We give it enough of the letter to calm ourselves down. And eventually, we don't need all those words. If you have the awareness, you don't need the words. So eventually, here in the second degree, we start having the experience of simply turning within, closing our eyes, turning within, and waiting. And then there's that inner movement, and we haven't used any words at all. Sometimes we feel uncomfortable with that because it's so new, we want to stick some words in there. That's okay. You'll get past it. Okay, Joel says, we may have to know and affirm truth for hours and hours and hours until we find that inner rest and break the discordant appearance. We have to live with truth until through our meditation there eventually comes a time when the contact with our source is so well established that we never have to use the mind again for the purpose of knowing the truth. Truth springs up from within our own being and utters itself to us. We do not declare it anymore. It declares itself. And that's the goal, the ultimate goal of the second degree. And so, to put it very simply, the first degree is learning the letter, so we have something to work with in our meditations, practicing reaching a state of rest, a peace, be still, a silence, a stop. The second degree is learning to turn within so often, first with every problem that is presented, and then with everything that we momentarily think is good. Both of the opposites. We turn within and we let God reveal what's really there. And we feel that inner movement over and over until the time comes when we don't have to rehearse the words anymore. We simply turn within and wait upon the Lord. And we receive things like I did. You don't have to work that hard. I am the way. So it is, Joel says, that when we have studied truth, worked with it, and lived it, filled our consciousness with truth day and night, then one day in our meditation we find that whenever it's necessary for a truth to appear, we have only to close our eyes. Turn within in this attitude. It's an attitude, folks. It's not words. We're not going within and saying, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth," because that's what Joel said, and that's what it said in the Bible. No. It's having that attitude. You're waiting for your Father to speak. So we have only to close our eyes and turn within in an attitude of, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth," and then truth comes up from within and announces itself to us. When that happens, there are signs following. Yes, my car started right up. At first, we fill our consciousness with truth until the mind is transformed from a material to a spiritual base. Then we stop using our mind as a mental power to make something happen and let it become an avenue of awareness through which to receive God's grace. And there is that wonderful word, receive. As many as receive him, John says, to them gives he power to become the sons of God. Or, to as many as receive him, Joel would say, they are able to behold, live life as a beholder, as God manifests as their life. Yes, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life, becomes a reality. At first, we fill our consciousness with truth. See, he's hammering this home. Until the mind is transformed from a material to a spiritual base. Yep. And then the mind becomes an avenue of awareness through which we receive God's grace. Ultimately, we live by the grace that flows from the Spirit within. And that becomes apparent to us through the mind. You see that? That's what we've been saying all morning here, all day. In the second degree, we begin to apply every word of spiritual truth we can to our daily living, thereby spiritualizing the mind until eventually our mind no longer reaches out for some kind of weapon, whether mental, verbal, or physical, but automatically goes within for a word of truth. And that's a wonderful thing, I can tell you. When you get to that place where it's automatic, you enter a room and two people are arguing, and you freeze for a minute. You stop. and you listen. The door opens within you. You open the door and you receive the word of God. And it may be something like, there is one presence here, and that presence agrees with itself. Or it may be just that inner movement, that inner tingling sensation. But in one way or another, you know you have received truth and have been imbued with truth in your mind. And all this can happen in a split second. And then you look, and one of the people says, oh, that's what you were trying to say. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. And it's all smoothed over. Why? Because your consciousness, the spirit, the truth entertained in your consciousness, the truth, your mind imbued with truth, becomes a law to your consciousness, and you live and move and have your being in your consciousness. And these two fellows are in your consciousness, so they respond. See that? At that state of consciousness, regardless of what problem presents itself, we reach into our consciousness for a word of truth with which to meet it. Now we know that's not a scripture. It's not a thought. It's not words. It's a word. It's truth. It's I. It's the feeling of the presence. We are now learning not to use the commonly accepted modes or means of life, but to rely upon the word of truth that is within our consciousness. Eventually, we will draw from within our own consciousness enough truth to change our entire world, because we are learning in this second degree that our consciousness embodies all the truth that has ever been known from the beginning of time. Yes, and Christ Jesus is going to point that out today. The infinite way reveals it is only necessary that a sufficient number attain this ability to go within and draw their spiritual good from that withinness, and then the next generation will be born into this new consciousness. Think about that. We are working on uplifting the entire world. And if there are enough of us, if 10 righteous men can save a city, if there are enough of us, the next generation will be born into this consciousness. They'll come out as children, and they'll know to turn within to meet anything that comes to them. They'll hear that divine, loving voice of the Father. It'll be natural. And the entire world will be lifted up to that state of consciousness. And we are doing the work now to help that happen. So when you're having your Sunday meditation, don't think it's not having an effect. It is. So he says, is not every word of truth that is transforming our state of consciousness also in a measure transforming the state of consciousness of the entire world? Once truth is brought to light in individual consciousness, the next generation will be born into the same state of consciousness that we have developed. It means going within ourselves, bringing forth all things needful as the effects of a spiritual impulse, and then beholding how this infinity forms itself on the outer plane. And that's why he said, behold, I shall make all things new. Through the activity of our mind, it is we who go back into our consciousness, into the center of our being, and draw forth spiritual truth. The mind must be enriched, it must be fed with spiritual meat, wine, and water, And the only place it can get these is from the soul, from the deep withinness. As we bring this nourishment up and let it feed our mind, we are building that mind in us which was also in Christ Jesus. And that mind becomes the substance of our body. We can fill our mind with truth, or we can leave it empty. We can let it be filled with the hypnotism of the world. Mind is unconditioned, and we are either letting it be permeated with the rubbish of this world, or with wisdom, with material, or with spiritual thoughts. See, one or the other, God or Mammon. We can be taught of God, given wisdom, safety, and direction. This, however, does involve a surrender of the little self. Here we go again with surrender. And the ability to be still and know that the I at the center is God. It involves a willingness to listen and let God direct and illumine the mind. Yes, the mind has to step aside and let the light shine through. When we have progressed in the second degree to the point where we have spiritualized the mind, where we understand the mind to be an unconditioned channel for God's wisdom, and have learned to be still, then when problems are brought to us for solution, we are not concerned about thinking thoughts. But we go within and let His voice utter itself. Let ourselves be instructed from within, and let His power come through. Although it usually takes students from 5 to 9 years to encompass the second degree, not a quick process, they do not have to wait those long years for fruitage to appear. The fruitage begins to come very quickly. It is only the full attainment that does not come so quickly. In the first and second degrees, most of us do attain harmony of body, pocketbook, and of human relationships. But this is only a step on the spiritual path because we have not yet discerned the real nature of immortality, eternality, and infinity, of completeness, of perfection. That lies ahead of us. That's in the third degree. But not until we have encompassed these 2 degrees. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Be still and know that I am God. That I, way deep down inside us, that I comforts us. That I is the presence. That I will instruct us. Then we will never have to use our mind as a power. But this rich spiritual food which wells up from within will feed our mind and become the substance and activity of our life and of our body. Okay, so I hope you see now what we are doing in this second degree. And let's see what John has to say here. In John 17, we'll look at part of it. Let us be still for a moment first. At the end of John 16, Christ Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And in chapter 17, he says, and now I am no more in the world. So where was Christ during the crucifixion? Was Christ crucified? He says, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. That's the same as you and I sitting down and saying, Father, show me what's really here. Glorify thyself. as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I suspect, I feel like it, I can't prove it, but I feel like somebody added that second part. I think Christ said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Period. And I think an editor later came along and added, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. But I mean, it doesn't matter, because if you know the Father, well, you're going to know the Son. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So right here, he has finished the work. And down here, he is no longer in the world. He has created that opening through which you, in your meditation, can feel that inner movement. That was the work. All right. So, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. All right. So, he's no longer in the world. And he's saying that he had a glory before the world was. And who is saying this? This is Christ. Who is Christ? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the Christ. So that I within you had a glory before the world was. And you will see that glory again, because the Christ of you is saying, Father, glorify thyself. I am sitting still. You speak. You live. You do. You manifest. And then in that opening that's created, God glorifies itself, and the car starts, and the body's healed, and the man stretches forth his hand, and the dead girl gets up and walks, and the dead boy rises up, and Lazarus comes forth. God is glorifying itself through a mind that is imbued with God. And so it's true. If you receive him, you become God manifested, or the Son of God. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And thy name, of course, is nature or way. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. All right, so, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. All right. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all are mine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world. Okay, so the Christ of you, within you, is showing you oneness. You are in the Father, the Father's in you, the Christ is within you, you are within the Christ. Thine are mine, and mine are thine. And he said last week, I will, Father, that those be where I am. And where is I am? I am is where ever there is an opening. I think it was Joel that said God looks for an opening. And I don't know if he is actively looking. It doesn't feel like that to me. It feels like more like the new horizon. Behind this world is a universe of spirit governed by love or God. And this world is real and permanent. And in it are the children of God. And so when there is an opening anywhere, that universe seeps into consciousness and mind becomes aware and is imbued with that truth seeping in. And then that truth is interpreted by mind, and this world becomes harmonious. More of reality is showing through. And so where is I am? Wherever I am is invited. Wherever there is an opening. The first chapter of Genesis is that experience of going within, standing still, and becoming aware of an inner movement. This then, in a way ye know not of, becomes, well, bone of your bone, and the living of your life. It becomes the harmony of your universe. You may hear in your meditation, in the beginning, God. And God saw all that he had made. And behold, it was very good. Does that mean that God is an opposite? No. No, very good in that sense is the same as harmonious. It's in the spiritual sense. It's not in the duality. There is no opposite to God's creation. There's a fake creation that wants to take up all your attention. But you and I know now how to restore the lost years of the locusts. You and I know now how God restores our soul. You and I know how to restore the original face, as the Buddhists call it, your original face, or the glory you had with God before the world was. You can live in that glory again. Only turn within, practice these principles. Wait upon the Lord. Do whatever you have to do to find that inner rest, that inner relaxing, that inner silence and stillness, that inner peace. And in that inner peace, behold, there really is a God, and God is a spirit. And spirit flows into your consciousness, and mind becomes aware or imbued with that spirit, and that spirit becomes manifest as the harmonious life, yours, your harmonious life, and anyone looking to you. I don't know about you, but I sure do want to live this way. And I am, to the best of my ability. And I thank all the teachers, all the way back to Christ Jesus and beyond, Shankara and Lao Tzu, all the teachers, all the way back, Enoch, Moses, thank you. St. John, thank you. Joel, thank you. Herb, thank you. Consciousness, thank you. Have a wonderful day.